Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this session. Appreciate your being here. Today I'm going to talk about public health education in rural America, and specifically about a partnership between the University of Nebraska Medical Center, College of Public Health, and Northeast Community College. I have no relationships to disclose. My objectives today are to explain the need for a trained and educated public health workforce in rural areas, to propose strategies to improve the quality of the rural health workforce and rural health in general, and to articulate the need for public health education for rural undergraduate students, and finally to outline the ASPPH draft report, Community College and Public Health Project. So with that, I want to give you a little bit of background about rural public health. First of all, rural U.S. citizens have less access to the full range of essential public health services than their urban counterparts. I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody, but this was reported by the National Rural Health Association in 2006. And why do we have these disparities? Well, first of all, rural areas. How many of you live in a rural area? Not very many. Okay, so I'm educating the rest of the audience here. But you two know, of course, what's going on here, and the rest of you probably do too. Well, rural areas have fewer public health agencies, and the formula here is that people plus fewer people plus lower incomes equals lower tax base to support public health services. So it's a natural sort of regression on how much access there really is out there. There are fewer educational and technological resources, and there are certainly fewer formally trained public health employees. So therefore, rural public health departments have a very great difficulty attracting and retaining public health professionals, somewhat of which, of course, is related to the fact that they have lower budgets upon which to hire these people. So it's kind of a multifaceted problem. So what are some of the rural public health concerns that are somewhat specific to rural health? Some of them very specific, some of them not so specific. First of all, poor health status. There is a increase in obesity and chronic illness. Part of the chronic illness is due to the aging populations in rural areas. Agriculture has many safety issues, and those of you who are not familiar with the safety issues out there, you would be astounded by what they are. Not just the machinery, but environmental pollutants, for instance. In the mining industries, the petroleum industries, the dust, the agricultural dust carries many bacterial and viral and fungal agents, for instance, as well as the farm chemicals that are raised in the dust as well as spread on the ground. There are long distances for people to travel for medical care, and that also is part of the concern in terms of their health status. And we have natural disasters that occur, and they occur everywhere. Obviously, we're in the middle of one of the largest ones that has ever occurred here. But those are ones you don't hear about so often. The tornadoes that wipe out entire communities, for instance. Flooding that may actually affect a large rural area, and so on. And so oftentimes there's not the adequate protection and there isn't the health care recovery that we would like to see. So given that, there was a strategy put forth by the Institute of Medicine report in 2003 that recommended that all undergraduates have access to education in public health. This is probably not a big surprise to most of you, since we've been talking a lot about undergraduate education in public health. And there were two aspects of this. One is to provide public health education to students who would gain the associate's degree and work in the community. They would stop at the associate's degree. The second would be to provide education to students, preparing them for a bachelor's or a master's degree. So those would be two strategies to consider. So taken that, ASPPH and this the League for Innovation in the Community College put forth this report. I have a copy here, and you'll find it on the ASPPH website. It is a wonderful report about community college and public health. So I would recommend that you download that and read it. It's very, very interesting. And the vision for this group was to rethink education in public health 100 years after the Rose-Welch Report, which provided, of course, the initial blueprint for schools of public health in the United States. This report has put forth two core curricular models. One is for the public health generalist, and one is for and the specializations in that generalist track, and health navigator tracks. And these are the core for both of those. I can let you read that. They look somewhat similar to maybe an MPH, but certainly at perhaps an overview level, more of a general level than you would find in the MPH program. The generalist track has the specializations, first of all, the generalist by itself, then health education specialization, health administration, and environmental health. So those are the three areas that they identified for the students to specialize in. The health navigator track, how many of you are familiar with health navigators? Or sometimes called community health workers. They have a lot of different names. They're using the term health navigator not to define the job title, but it's the intention for that frontline education for health workers in the community. So that's how that's defined. So not necessarily based on that, but also being in a rural area. We are in a metropolitan city, but most of the state is rural, so we are concerned about the education of our rural students. We had proposed a project with Northeast Community College, which is obviously in the northeast part of the state, a very rural area. We wanted to increase the awareness of public health among those students as well as their faculty. We felt that perhaps public health wasn't really brought into the curriculum in a very major way. We also wanted to, our indirect goal here was to recruit students into our graduate, and we have a sister campus that has an undergraduate program, so both of those. And we also wanted to focus on the professionals working in that area. In fact, that county in which Northeast Community College is located is 98% rural, so it seemed to make a lot of sense. We had two foci. One was on students. We were going to present public health topics, take faculty to the college, present different public health topics, focusing on concepts and case studies of real life experiences, so we could draw them to what was the practice of public health really, really all about. The second was to bring panels of faculty, our faculty, as well as the community college faculty, health professionals, rural industry representatives, and so on, to focus the students on professional development. What does it mean? And the third, we would invite the faculty and students from that college to take a tour of our campus to see what we're all about and to hopefully entice them to think about it. We also looked at the focus on faculty. They have some relevant programs that we could actually bring some public health into, and I think that's true in almost any community college. And we also would focus on the advisors so that they could tell the students, what is public health about? Why would you be interested? And how can we help guide you into a professional career? All right, so given all that, we did not get our grant to do this, but we still intend to carry this out. So we do think it's important, and we want to build these relationships with our community college, as well as colleges, we have a number of them, as well as our state colleges. Those are four-year institutions, but starting at that perhaps even freshman and sophomore level. All right, here's some food for thought. In all these reports, I just want to point this out. This was the 2005 report on the public health workforce by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And what does it say? Well, the MPH, getting an MPH does not necessarily mean that you get more pay. I think everybody can probably agree with that in this room, right? It is useful for workers, but few local health departments have positions that require it. We're still in that realm today. Positions that do require an MPH are mainly at the state or large district health departments. So those are the ones who can afford a master's trained person. Physicians in leadership positions, however, in public health, often have an MPH. So that is another opportunity, of course, to train physicians. In this survey, most of the district and local health leaders didn't think that their workers needed MPHs to acquire the basic skill sets. So maybe that's what we need to kind of change that attitude a little bit. Leaders and managers were just as likely to have an MBA or an MPH, MPA, as they were an MPH, especially in rural areas. So that's another area to be a little concerned about. So some of the recommendations that were made in this report, and that I certainly would agree with, we need to learn what attracts potential public health workers to the field and develop innovative recruitment and marketing strategies. Not a big wow, but we know we need to do this. We need to provide more opportunities for public health training and education that are accessible for senior staff. The people who are already in the field have a lot of experience, so especially those leaders out there. Obviously, we need to provide support to students, develop career ladders to offer advancement, and schools of public health, this is, I thought, interesting. They looked at schools particularly. Schools of public health needed to be more responsive to the recruitment and training needs of district and local health offices, especially in rural areas. So when you look at that practice and academic connection, they felt that was really missing and that needed to be addressed. And also to find or develop and support a model public health curriculum. And I think the Framing the Futures group is really looking at that now, and that's very going to be very, very important work. So what do we find from 2005 to 2015 from when that report came out? Well, we have more public health education programs, no doubt about it, growing like crazy. We have online programs that are reaching folks who couldn't participate before. I believe we have a growing public awareness of public health, prevention, health status, and health disparities. I don't want to point to a crisis, but I do think the Ebola crisis has raised the issue of public health to a degree we have not seen for a while. So regardless of the reason, which is a painful and difficult reason, I think it's necessary. At least it has a little positive outcome in that people's awareness is being raised. We are now developing accreditation standards for local health departments. Some, not all, are following this. As a matter of fact, you heard yesterday the New Orleans Health Department just got accredited. I think that's extremely exciting. When that happens, we're likely to get more demand for our trained students, whether they're undergraduate, graduate, PhD, we also have a lot of students interested in undergraduate public health. This has become the market for public health. I hope you've been able to hear me. Yes, I am short. Sorry. Also, there is a growing interest by health professionals in public health education. Now, the medical AAMC has a requirement that all medical students have to have exposure to public health education in their medical education. So I think this is going to grow throughout all the professions, and we're going to see more health professionals have a public health degree along with their major professional degree. Okay, well, that's our campus. Just so you know, there are no cornfields in the middle of it and no silos. Well, kind of silos. So, thank you very much.